Everything has to step up now. Everything has to go to the next level.
He really has the ability to read those holes and really gravitate towards making those big plays, whether it's in the rushing game or in the passing game.
This guy's got himself the tool. You see him throw the ball. I mean, you really got to ask yourself, what can he not do? And he's the ultimate team player.
It's hard to overlook the ability and the potential that this young man has.
Welcome to Raiders Rundown. I'm JT. It's Kansas City week as the world champs are coming to town to take on the Silver and Black Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. So this is the most important game of the year, period. It will remain that way, especially with the team going for a three-peat, the last remaining undefeated team. Kansas City's got the entire Raider Nation's attention, and this is the time for the Raiders to do something special, because it hasn't been special the last couple of weeks as the Raiders are coming off the loss in L.A. against the Rams, and they just need something big to happen. We need something big to flip, and no team better. This is the last team to beat Kansas City last year on Christmas, and does that give the Raiders the ability to think they can win? They always think they can win. They always go into preparation believing that they're going to win football games. They're not thinking about keeping it close. They're not thinking about anything other than winning the game. Just win, baby. But it's going to take everything. And I remember last year going into Christmas, it was the same discussion. How are the Raiders going to go into Kansas City and win? Well, 2 scores in 7 seconds. They didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. The defense was able to win that game. The defense showed up. They played with an intensity and an energy level at the time for the interim head coach, who's now the head coach, and they were electric. They showed up and they were ready to play. That's exactly what has to happen here. You know, excuses die, the record stands. There's no excuses around this headquarters. They're ready to play and we're ready to win. It's been the turnover battle that's been hurting the Raiders. To have 4 turnovers in Los Angeles to 1 for the Rams, to have a 1-score game, it's pretty remarkable. You cut down to 2 turnovers or maybe none or 1, you think the Raiders could win that game. I thought the Raiders could win that game and should have won the game, but we said that against Denver. We said it against Carolina, and now the team has to galvanize and play like they haven't played this year. And that's the key that I wanted to say as we welcome everyone in, is that this is the time in the season where people have to believe in this building that they can put together a good football game. That's it. Just a consistent first to fourth quarter solid football game. Not a good start where they lose all the energy. Not a good start where they're in the game and then something happens right before halftime and then they kind of just get to the point where they're chasing the rest of the game. This is a team that knows Kansas City as good as anybody, and the coaches know each other well. Antonio Pierce is going to join us coming up here, and he started under Steve Spagnuolo, right? That was his first, when he won a Super Bowl, that was Spagnuolo's first time with the Giants, and they know each other well. And all the coaches in this coaching tree, Andy Reid has become one of the greatest coaches of all time. He was not when he left Philadelphia. He came to Kansas City, and now he's on the Mount Rushmore all time, potentially, of coaches to ever coach in this league. It's because of the success that Kansas City has. It's their discipline. They don't turn it over. When they do turn it over, they take advantage of it. They get the ball and score. And this team just played a physical game against the 49ers where Mahomes had a 44 passer rating, didn't do much at all, and the defense won the game. So they're doing it all. They're finding a way to win. They're the last undefeated team. And I'm going to be talking about this all hour on Raiders Rundown and for 2 hours on Raider Nation Radio. It's time to have a game. It's time to have a performance for the fans at Allegiant Stadium. Come out ready to play. That is never in question. The Raiders are always ready to play. Look at the first quarter of the last 3 weeks, and they lost all the games. They've shown up. They've shown out. They've been ready to play. What happens is there's a moment in the first half where something goes wrong, and they don't recover. And that has to stop. And look, Antonio Pierce is preaching that around the clock. Max Crosby is preaching that to the defense. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Let's make one more play and win the game. It's now on the offense. Brock Bowers is having a landmark year. We know that. But a lot of guys have been injured. The quarterback play has not been good, and I'm being kind there. It hasn't been good at all. Desmond Ridder was brought in here. We'll see what happens to him in reserve or if he's eventually going to play more. And the Raiders got to find a way to get it done. Next man up, we've been talking about that for a month. next man up. We know who's hurt. The injury report's going to be really important this week as we get ready for this game. And then the breaking news today of DeAndre Hopkins as we open up this show. All reports say DeAndre Hopkins is on his way. They're buttoning up that deal to go to Kansas City. This is a receiver who can make plays. And I heard a couple of people talk about this morning as I was on the way here to headquarters about what he can do. He's not going to be brought into Kansas City to be the deep threat, even though he can get deep. He's done that throughout his career. He's there to open it up for Xavier Worthy to be the deep threat again and then to open up some of the routes so Travis Kelce can get going. Kelce's not having a banner Pro Bowl year at all, but he can get going, and Kelce is always big in this rivalry. So as we open up the show here, Raider Nation, we feel what you're going through. Everybody's going through it, but this is a week to embrace this opportunity. It's to embrace the opportunity to play Kansas City now. Not in 2 weeks, not in 3 weeks, because eventually this team's got to put together a performance that puts them in the driver's seat to win a game. It should be at home. It should be at Allegiant Stadium. Yeah, there'll be some red in the building. We know that. But I can't find another game this year where the Raiders should be this focused, this upset, this furious to go out there and play the physical, violent football that we were told is going to happen. And that's going to happen right now. It's got to happen right now, because if you don't match the intensity of Kansas City and the physicality of Chris Jones and the way they push and the way they hit on that offensive line and push linebackers back, if you're not ready to play the most physical football that you've played your whole life, you don't stand a chance with this team, because all they need is to see a flinch. All they need is to see a weakness, and they'll attack it. And they're very good when they make their adjustments. And then, as I've sat here, you know, in this rivalry going on my 27th year with the team, there's always a – and this is just the Andy Reid era, because the Raiders own them for decades. Okay, they've owned them for decades and played in bigger games until recently. If you look at the history of the Raiders in Kansas City, up until about 5 years ago, it was the Raiders, right? The Raiders and the team of the decades. But now – Kansas City, very similar to the Brady era, Tom Brady now the minority owner of this team, one of them, when New England was kind of an average team or below average team forever. And then they went on that dynasty run. And now they're considered one of the greatest teams of all time. That's exactly what Kansas City's doing. For 50 years, from Super Bowl IV to Super Bowl 54, they had a couple of years that were impressive, but they couldn't win it all. Now they can't stop winning it all. And they haven't lost since the Raiders beat them. Think of that for a second. Really big deal. They haven't lost a football game since Christmas when the Raiders beat them. And you want to talk about one of the toughest schedules they had. You know, that's why I got to tip my cap to the Chiefs. I mean, they went through the playoffs on the road into Baltimore. The schedule that they had to get to, then they got the Niners, who were a juggernaut in the Super Bowl, right here in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. They won the Super Bowl in impressive fashion, and they haven't looked back. But they're not playing well. The offense is struggling. They got a lot of injuries. I mean, a lot of big injuries. The Niners are worse. They got more injuries than they played in the Super Bowl. But the Raiders have injuries too. We've talked for weeks on Raiders Rundown about Christian Wilkins, Malcolm Kuntz, Marcus Epps. We know that they're not coming back. They're out. Jacoby Myers, we're hoping he can go and get ready to play here. But all of this being said, the next man up philosophy, the intensity, everything's got to be great. Everything's got to be epic Sunday for the Raiders to have a chance to win the game, and hopefully they can get that done. So the Desmond Ridder news, what does he bring to the table? The Raiders bring in a quarterback with experience. When he came into Atlanta, when he came out of college, he's a gunslinger, and he's a guy who can throw it and he can run it. And he's like many quarterbacks in this league, that he came into the league and he played a lot in the beginning. Played a lot in the beginning and made a lot of plays. He was drafted in the third round, 74th overall by Atlanta, and they threw him into the fire. And he had some big flash plays. If you're watching here on our YouTube channel, on the Raiders YouTube, you can see this. He's throwing the ball all over the place, and he's making plays with his legs. And as I said on my show yesterday, he reminds me a lot of Gardner Minshew a couple of years ago, when Gardner Minshew was making all these throws that were touchdowns and rolling outside the pocket. But one thing about Ridder, Tom Telesco, I'll ask Antonio Pierce about it. They wanted to bring in a quarterback here when they use him, if they use him, whatever's going to happen. And as we sit here on Wednesday, we're waiting for more developing news on the quarterback play. But I'll tell you, he's a guy you can trust. I don't know if he's going to cut down on turnovers or not. We don't know. But he's a guy you can put in a football game, and he can make plays. You're not throwing in a rookie. You're not throwing in an undrafted free agent. You're throwing in a guy who was a high draft pick, has played a lot in this league, and has had some success. And I think that's where the Raiders are at now, with Aiden O'Connell with the thumb injury. Gardner hasn't played well at all. He's been turning it over. Four turnovers in the last game. All of it wasn't his fault. On the fumble, that play got blown up. It was an offensive line breakdown. But a couple of the throws were poor. And if he's not willing to win games, if he can't win games, you got to make a change. And that's okay. There's been some great changes at quarterback in Raider history that has got this team going again. So we'll wait and see when he's going to play. But believe me, this is an opportunity of a lifetime for him to come to this famed franchise and get going here. Now, one of the positive signs is Brock Bowers. Wow. Brock Bowers is playing great football. All-time record for most receptions by a tight end in NFL history as a rookie. How do you do that with the names of Kellen Winslow and Mike Ditka and Travis Kelce and go down the list, Gronk, and he's now on the top of the list here. He is the ultimate weapon. We knew that coming in. That was one thing I could easily see in Costa Mesa when the team was struggling, trying to figure out who was going to be the starting quarterback. You just looked at Brock and he was different. He's just different. His size, his speed, his ability to get the ball at the line of scrimmage, run shorter routes and then take it upfield. And he's been exceptional. Everything that's been asked of Brock Bowers, he's been able to take it to the next level. 47 receptions. He's on pace to get to 100 here. Third most receptions by a rookie through seven games in the last 10 seasons. I mean, come on. This is the weapon now that Devontae Adams is gone. Jacoby's been banged up. They have some smaller, undersized receivers here. It's about Brock Bowers. And Brock's got to even have a bigger role. Yes, I just said it. He's got to have a bigger role. He has proved to everyone that he can handle the role. Give him more to eat. Give him more. If it's 14 targets and 10 receptions, fantastic. How about 17 targets, 12 receptions? Just keep going to him. Now, what's going to happen with Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas City? You would assume that they're going to have a safety over the top, a linebacker on them. Maybe they're going to be physical. I mean, I've been preaching forever. You got to be physical with Travis Kelce. The times here that I've lost my mind is when Kelce lines up and no one's in front of him, right? That's the first thing I look at in these games. Where is Kelce and is there someone in front of him? And he's an aging athlete now. We're not talking about Kelce 6-7 years ago. Well, Brock is Kelce 6-8 years ago. Will Steve Spagnuolo put someone on him? Will they come after him, get physical with him at the line of scrimmage? We're going to see here as I bring in the great Lincoln Kennedy, one of the great tackles in Raiders history and also on the broadcast. And Link, I'm rolling, man, because let me tell you, as I welcome you in, this is an unbelievable opportunity. The coach is going to come sit down with me after you, and I just think it's an opportunity. They haven't played well. They've been a turnover machine. They have to play better, and Kansas City, like when you played, they get all the players' attention.
JT, you are something special. Every week, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, you are something special. Yes, I'm right there with you, buddy, my friend. How are you?
Good. I'm really good. And before we get to Kansas City, we always ask you a recap of the last game. And, you know, the decision to kick the field goal, I understand it, but hindsight, you're down there, you're going to get some points. You're down there, you got to get points. The clock helped out. They got the ball back again, but they just weren't clicking enough to go 80 or 90 yards. It's just not the way this team is built.
Well, you know, one of the things that I will say that about this team and about this year, it doesn't matter the situation. You're going to always second guess the outcome. Doesn't matter, you know, if you go for it, if you don't, you're going to second guess. So I don't feel bad for AP in that sense, but it's part of the condition. Look, the thing is, JT, when you come about the Raiders and you think about them collectively, it comes down to what are you going to believe? Who are you going to think about? What are you going to do? Because right now, there's no identity. Mm-hmm. There's nothing for sure that you can depend on. And that works against you if you're the Raiders right now. Doesn't matter. You second guess every decision that you make. Go for it on fourth down, punt the ball, whatever it is. You're going to second guess every decision because you have no identity. And that's unfortunate for the Raiders right now.
Lincoln, you and I talked about before we get to Desmond Ridder and the signing and what that means, that you know, the team got down to the 4-yard line, and then there was a false start, and they went back. And when the team goes backwards, and you played in this game at the highest level, multiple Pro Bowls, I can feel for the offensive linemen. They don't want to jump off sides. They don't practice right that way. But these little things, these penalties that we didn't see last year, especially when they went on that big run, they're starting to mount now. So when you get a turnover, and then you get a penalty, or a penalty leads to a turnover, and then the blocking, when Gardner got blown up on that blitz there, I just think the offensive line remains an issue here, and they got to look in the mirror and play better individual football.
The offensive line is an issue. It's not going to change until you adjust it and you address it. The fact is, this team, unfortunately, and it pains me to say this, can't run the ball, can't pass the ball, can't do anything offensively. You know, you're hoping, and my issue is the fact that we're, a month and a half into the season? Mm-hmm. And my issue is the fact that when I go out there, are you going to be able to get more than three downs before you punt the ball? That's what I'm worried about. And that's where this offense is. This, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is. I'm painstaking to say that, JT. It's unfortunate that we are, as a professional football team, are where we are. But the offensive line is not complete. The offensive line is a big issue. And it's not something that you can overlook, because you can't sustain drives if you don't have an offensive line.
Yeah, I agree with you. Lincoln Kennedy is our guest. Let's get to Desmond Ridder. I like his style of play. Again, I don't want to make this sound interesting, but he reminds me a lot of Gardner Minshew. He does. The type of player he is and the size. What I like about Ridder is he got thrown into the fire when he was drafted due to injury. Played a lot. So there's a lot of film on him. Reminded me of Heinicke, who played in this league too. You play, you flash. Right. But they always seem like they want a better quarterback. So he always knew that they were going to probably replace him or look for a bigger name. And he handled it well. I think he's a good leader. I've seen a lot of his tape in preparation for this week. If the Raiders end up using him, what do you like about Desmond Ridder that can help the team the rest of the way?
It's really too soon to say. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because I know what we're supposed to do as a collective group. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to up and, you know, push the Raiders. Right now, you're almost – You're close to the midpoint of the season, and you don't have an identity. I can't, to be honest with you, JT, I can't push somebody in there and say how they're going to be or what we can look forward to if you don't have the other intangibles in place. For example, as an offensive line, you can't protect the quarterback. You can't run the football. What can you do?
Yeah.
I'm saying that collectively. What are you supposed to do as a quarterback or a person coming into with this team? Right now, you're running for your life. The reason why Gardner Minshew got the job in the beginning of the season is because he was mobile and he has an ability to escape the possible pressure. Mm-hmm. You add Desmond Ridder, you add someone else to that mix. Does that change where you're up against? Mm-hmm. If you're always running for your life, you're not looking outside. That's what, you know, it's hard for me to be skeptical of what a possible newcomer can do with this team when you look at what you have and what you're doing right now, and it's not good.
Lincoln Kennedy's our guest. I know in your thorough preparation before you get out here to Vegas for the game, it's really unique this year to look at Mahomes and the numbers being so drastically down. I mean, you're saying, how were they the last undefeated team when they played four of their six games? They were beyond beatable. I mean, it was just almost like a lot of people told me this week, Link, I talked to Kirk Morrison on the radio, former teammate of yours. I'm saying, the Rams wanted to give the Raiders the game. They tried to give the Raiders the game, and the Raiders wouldn't take it. Kansas City's done the same thing. In four of their games out of their 6-0 start, they're basically telling the opponent, you can have this game. We don't have passing yards. We don't have much going on. We got injuries everywhere. But they find a way to make plays late in the fourth quarter to put these tight games away.
Well, let me first preface this by saying I cannot stand the Chiefs.
You know, you can't stand the Broncos either. So you got a few of those.
Can't stand the Broncos, can't stand the Chargers, can't stand the Chiefs. Yeah. I cannot stand the Chiefs. This is one of the weeks where I get amped, and I wish that I could still play and be a viable option. But it is what it is. Look, the thing is when you're a good team and you're on top, you find a way to pull out these wins. And I'm hoping the Raiders get there. I'm hoping the Raiders become one of those teams where you find a way to we stumbled upon a win. It wasn't that great. A win is a win. And when you're in the Kansas City Chiefs, coming off of, two Super Bowl championships, all that stuff, you have that aforementioned. The Raiders don't have that.
Yeah.
We got to get there. The first thing is, like I've told you before, a win is a win is a win. If the Raiders find a way to beat the Chiefs this weekend, they can start to look on the other side of the coin about how fortunate it is to win a football game.
All right, Lincoln. Chris Jones, I just want to get to him. He went up against some of the greatest defensive players of all time. And when you continue to look at this beast. So in the interior, when he lines up in the interior, and you got a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, a rookie, and you got DJ Glaze, a rookie, and you look at Chris Jones, I mean, he's licking his chops. He wants to go either way.
Certainly.
But that interior push with Andre James and the guards, Dylan Parham's been hurt. Woo! I mean, good luck with this guy. And how do you got to do that? What do you got to do to get your hands quickly into him? What's the way to at least slow him down a bit? He almost looks unguardable.
You have to think about, and I know most of these guys can't relate with it because they've never seen him. But I go back to the old school the foundation where you're fighting in a phone booth. You remember the phone booths?
Yeah.
JT, you remember the phone booths? That's that small space that you used to see on a corner that had the public pay phones. And I know most of our people who are listening and watching this podcast can't relate with that. Yeah. Fight in a phone booth. You want to fight in a small room. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to talk about. A small, confined room. That's where I am, and that's where we need to fight. That's what you have to think about when you're talking about playing against a guy like Chris Jones. It applies to guards, centers, as well as tackles, because he lines up in space.
No doubt it's the biggest test of the year for the interior of this offensive line, period. It's the biggest.
Right.
You
no
know
doubt.
Who you are as a football player, rookie, veteran, on
True
how
story.
You play this guy on top of
Absolutely.
Spagnuolo. Mahomes,
Absolutely.
Lincoln, you played with so many great players, but this is different. I never in my wildest dreams thought there'd be a player that could get near Tom Brady. Near him. In the same conversation, and look at what's going on now. So he's got a great record, career ranked 6-0, lowest in passing yards, passing. He's only got 6 passing touchdowns all year long, 8 interceptions, tied for his worst, and his passer rating's 82.5. So he could get healthy against the Raiders. Other guys were able to do that, like Andy Dalton, who had a big game against the Raiders. But fortunately, the Raiders are at least familiar with the eye candy and the misdirection that I'm going to be talking about with Coach coming up next.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When you have a quarterback, you have a chance. Patrick Mahomes is one of the better ones, and he is chasing Tom Brady. You got to find a way to slow him down. Mm-hmm. The Raiders were able to do that on Christmas Day last year. Can they do it again? We'll see.
Thank you, Lincoln. Always a pleasure talking to you. Safe travels to Vegas.
I'll see you on game day. I love you, brother.
Same here. I love you, too.
See you soon.
That's a great Lincoln Kennedy. Fantastic to talk to him about this. Look, the theme of the show on Raiders Rundown and all my shows this week is embrace the opportunity. There's a lot of people who don't want to embrace the opportunity outside the building. I get it. That's part of my job. Trying to motivate people to embrace life and the opportunity to be Raider Nation. It's not going well. I understand everything you're going through because I host the pregame, the postgame, and these other shows. I know what it looks like. But you got to feel good about the opportunity to have one big game. And look where the record is now. This better get the attention of everybody. I'm not saying that a win here is going to propel them to the playoffs or the Super Bowl. I don't go there. But a win here could be the signature moment of the season, and they need one. And last year, the signature moment, they had two. The Christmas win against Kansas City and the all-time scoring record against the Chargers. Here's our lineup here on Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. All times are Pacific 7 to 10, the Rich Eisen Show. I'm on noon to 2 Pacific, then Q Myers from 2 to 5 p.m. That's our great, and I mean great flagship. We finally have a flagship station that everybody's cooperating with because the Raiders know how important it is to you, the Raider Nation. Antonio Pierce will join us, and then Vinny Bonsignore, our insider this week. This is Raiders Rundown. We welcome in head coach Antonio Pierce. So, Coach, just back to L.A. for a second. The turnovers at the end, you made it a one-score game when you kicked the field goal. What was the message to the team after a loss that you could have won that game?
I mean, to be honest, repeating it for 3 weeks in a row now. Just, you know, Raiders beating ourselves. Penalties and turnovers. You got to take care of the football. You give yourselves no chance to win games when you turn the ball over at the rate we're turning it over.
Nate Hobbs had a big game. What did you see on the tape with him? Now when he's playing aggressive behind the line of scrimmage, finding the football, that's what we've been waiting for. We got it.
Yeah, we tried to just leave him at one position, right? Mm-hmm. Not have him go outside to play outside corner. Just leave him in that star nickel position. And obviously, man, I've been talking about it. He's physical. He can blitz. He can cover. He's really having a quietly good season. Like, he just keeps showing up, and he's been very consistent with his play. And obviously, he came through in a very big moment where we need a play to kind of get the momentum going back to our side, and he did, and he was able to put points on the board.
Brock, we'll get to him throughout this conversation, but that was just another game, a milestone all time, the most receptions by a rookie tight end.
I mean, listen, he's special. I've been saying it. I think everybody in the league sees it now. You can't hide it. I mean, I think he's leading the league in receptions as well. But it's everything. It's the body of work. I mean, I see the receptions. I get that and what he's doing after the rock. But what's so impressive is that same guy that's leading the league in receptions is blocking his tail off in the run game, blocking his tail off out there on perimeter passes. So just ultimate football guy. He's a football guy. And you want to have more and more guys like that on your team.
We played his locker room session. He's all business. He doesn't want to talk. The questions, he does his job in front of the locker. It's ball, it's ball, it's good. Let's get on to the next game.
Yeah, just watch him in meetings. Just sitting there in team meeting, you talk, and y'all get eye contact, but I'm not going to get anything. I'm not getting a head nod. I'm not going to get a smile. And then you watch him with the offense and walkthroughs and just a business-like mentality. And he's been like that from the day he walked in. I mean, I think I said it before. I asked him, what jersey number you want? You want 19? He's like, what's available? All right, well, here we go. That's it. That's the end of it. Let's go move on.
Tell me about Desmond Ridder. When Tom Telesco, you looked at the tape and your coaches, Luke Getsy, what did you see that could potentially help the team?
Well, he's played, right? Mm-hmm. He's played very successful coming out of college. He's a winner. Mm-hmm. He's mobile. And more importantly, man, we just need some fresh life, you know, obviously in the quarterback room with Aiden being out for a while. So there's a lot of characteristics there. He's a smart person, genuine, just being around him for the last couple of days. Excited to see what he can do.
He's in a unique spot. He came into the league and they threw him in. So he played a lot in the beginning. It's hard to keep that
like
job
Aiden.
When you're very similar to that. So you believe he has the experience. He could change the play at the line if he gets in. He could make plays with his legs. And he's got a big gun if he can throw it downfield and the connection with Trey in college.
Right. And I think that's huge as well. Yeah. But more importantly, he was with Arthur Smith in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. A lot of similarities in the scheme. Verbiage, vocabulary, terminology, quicker to get him up to speed into our playbook.
All right, DeAndre Hopkins is the breaking news today before the week. It looks like Kansas City, all reports are, bring him in. With Worthy and Kelce, it looks like they just want a route runner there that maybe opens up their offense a little bit more. How do you see that move?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're banged up like a lot of teams mm-hmm. in the National Football League. But, I mean, this offense still is going to go around Kelce and, mm-hmm. and Worthy deep. I mean, what they've been able to do with Worthy, to his speed, either reverses, jet sweeps, I mean, vertical shots. I mean, it's legit, right? He's 4-2, and it's fast. Mm-hmm. And our guys got to be on top of it. We got to keep him in front of us, do a good job of that. But at the end of the day, when you talk about divisional rivalry game, it always comes down to Kelce for us.
Oh,
and all eyes is on 87 and 15.
Well, what I thought last week when you told us about the eye candy, and you did a pretty good job with that overall, mm-hmm. I call it misdirection. Yep. And we talk about that always. They start a play one way, they come back the other way. That's eye candy. Kansas City does it better than any other team.
Yeah, they're just trying to get the linebackers mm-hmm. and the guys at the second level just to move slightly, get them out of position. Mm-hmm. So now they create angles on us to get to the blocking direction that they want to get to give them creases in the run game. But then more importantly, like you said, when you got speed like they do at wide receiver, mm-hmm. and even at the running back position, I think it's unique for us to really just be very intentional on how we move, mm-hmm. right? It's not like that, you know, you see some linebackers, they're shuffling like it's a drill, like you're training off season. No, it's very subtle. Same thing with our safeties, our stars when they're down here. So we got to be key because, you know, if you get out of the fit one time with these guys, they're out the game.
The physicality against this team, I know that's the way you played, and that's the way you have to play against Kelce. If he gets a free roll at the line of scrimmage, he can get upfield and make big plays. To get a linebacker on him, to chip him a little bit, that's really important in this one.
Yeah, this is our third division of the game, and every one of them has been physical, right? From the Chargers to the Broncos, now here to the Chiefs. This is not going to be any different. We talk about all this eye candy and all the movement, but Andy Reid wants to be physical. That O-line is a physical group, especially a three interior O-lineman. So it's going to be really key for us to be upside, be stout, You go back to how we played last year in both games, you know, the big key point was being stout up front on both sides of the ball. And that's where it's going to be won. It's going to be won in the trenches. We know they got a great quarterback, Hall of Fame type quarterback there. But the ability to stop the run and run the ball is going to be very critical.
We talk about the other head coach every week. I want to spend time on Steve Spagnuolo, how far you go back with him, what you know about his tendencies here as a defensive, potential Hall of Fame coach on the defensive side.
Yeah, I think we know each other too well.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing in a game like this, because we spend time in offseason with each other, constantly talk throughout the week. Won't talk this week. That's our rules. We never talk the week of our game. But a lot of respect for Steve Spagnuolo. You know, obviously, I played for him when he was his first year as a coordinator. Mm-hmm. We won the Super Bowl together, and I've went back and coached underneath him in 2017. Ultimate respect, just what he's able to do. You know, they've now kind of warped into a different defense, right? Mm-hmm. They missed some pieces with injuries, and they lost some guys in free agency. Now they're doing a lot of different things. But the production is still there. I mean, they're aggressive. They're in your face. You know what's going to happen on third and fourth down. Get close to the red zone. Here comes all out pressure. And he knows how I think. He knows how I see the game of football, how we like to play defense. And obviously, it's going to be a good matchup.
Chris Jones has got your offensive linemen thinking for the right reasons. You got one of the best players in football there. The ability to just slow him down, he's been a game wrecker.
Yeah. You know, it's not one set of hands. It's not two. It's three. You know, we got to constantly have all eyes and hands on him. We got to wear him down. You know, there's going to be moments where he takes himself out the game, and that's going to be critical for us to get going, of course. Every team does that to him. But when he's in there, we got to know where he's at. And he moves. You know, Spags does a really good job of just moving. He's a three technique. Last year against us in the game two, he's playing nose tackle. Then he goes to defensive end. We ain't got to worry about him dropping, but we got to know when it's a critical situation, the game's on the line, where's Waldo? And Waldo for us is 95.
Go back to the Christmas Day game last year. Max, Jack Jones, and Merrick. Right, all in that game, all with confidence in that game. You had an unbelievable performance, 2 scores in 7 seconds. Is that what you're preaching to the team this week, that the game could flip pretty quickly with a couple of big plays on defense?
Yeah, I mean, really, I talked to all three units this one. We're really striving and keep pushing for our special teams units to make that special play and make be a difference maker. We got one of the best punters there. We feel really good about our kicker. Just doing something special there, but the last 2 years, really the last 4 games, you think about the scores. Like, we've been up. It's been very competitive except for 1 year at the end of the 2022 season. But it always comes down to either them making a play or us making a play. And then where is that? Is it in that middle eight where we talk about, like the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter, which they're one of the best in the National Football League in situational football. So we're not looking to make splash plays and search for them and hunt for them. It's like, let it come to us. Do our technique. Play fundamental. This is a well-coached team. They've been together. They've won now back-to-back Super Bowls. They've won. They're on a 12-game winning streak.
Yeah, they are.
Right? So this is a really good football team. So we got to be dialed in. This ain't a trick-em-dick-em game. This is really just get ragged into it. Everybody do their job.
Daniel Carlson comes off a big game here. But I look at your punter and AJ. Ray Guy played in this series along with Shane Leckler, who I think is going to be a Hall of Famer someday. I think this is a big game to flip the field. You got one of the best punters in football. That could be the difference in pinning them back and making them go 90 yards a few times.
I mean, I don't think it's no hidden agenda. That's our philosophy.
Yeah.
To pin these guys back, allow our defense to play backed up defense and have them guys back there and play half court offense, right? Allow them to punt, get a stop, our offense is the ball, hopefully near midfield, use Daniel Carlson, use AJ Cole, those guys that you talk about as weapons. And this is going to be a game every point matters, right? Yeah. If we got an opportunity to put points on the board, we got to do it. And obviously, we know we don't want to be in a high scoring game. That's not how we're playing football right now. That's not where we're at this point in the season. So we got to make it kind of a slugfest.
Finally, I can't anticipate a bigger opportunity for you and your team than this game at this time. You want to flip it. You want to turn it around. After beating them, the last team to beat them, I got to think everybody's going to be sky high this week for preparation and especially on game day.
Yeah, well, it's a team we know very well.
Yeah.
Right? The scouting report wasn't long today. It's a couple of minutes. Let's get right into the game plan and get going. And we understand what's going to come into the stadium. It's going to be a lot of red. Right? It's a lot of red. That's not a color that we're very happy about seeing in our stadium. Our guys understand it. But more importantly, this game is not about, you know, Antonio Pierce and Andy Reid or Spags and Patrick Graham. This is about the Raiders versus the Chiefs. A huge rivalry, a game where there's true dislike for one another, and we have to play that way.
Last one with the fans. They were there for you in L.A. As always, they'll be here. Again, there'll be some red there, but the fans really anticipate maybe the season, this could be a defining moment if you get a win. And that's what you're in business to do, is get a win. This is a great opportunity to put one on the board.
There's another opportunity in front of Raider Nation. The Black Hole's been great everywhere we've been, home and away. Raider Nation's always loud. And like I always keep saying, man, I'm truly appreciative of the season that we're having right now, not the record we want, but their ability to show up, be loud in critical moments for us. They really energize our team. And this is a group that, I'm telling you now, is heavily motivated to play in this game.
Thank you.
I'm fired to see it.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Everything has to step up now. Everything has to go to the next level.
He really has the ability to read those holes and really gravitate towards making those big plays, whether it's in the rushing game or in the passing game.
This guy's got stuff to tool. You see him throw the ball. I mean, you really got to ask yourself, what can he not do? And he's the ultimate team player.
It's hard to overlook the ability and the potential that this young man has.
Rundown JT from headquarters with Vinny Bonsignore, my teammate on Raider Nation Radio and also from Vegas Nation. And Vinny, good to have you in studio. Coming off a tough loss in LA, a market you know very well. Raiders were in it, made it a one-score game. But those turnovers again.
Yeah, and as Antonio Pierce talked about, it's a broken record. I mean, I feel like I'm writing the same story every week now for the last 3 weeks or so, and that's turnovers and penalties. 25 penalties of their 42 this year have occurred over the last three games. Obviously, four turnovers in a game where the Rams were almost begging the Raiders to win that game. They gave them so many opportunities. The Rams just aren't a very good team right now. You just can't have 10 penalties and four turnovers. All of them led to some points by the Rams. So without a doubt, the Raiders are shooting themselves in the foot, and they're not good enough. There's very few teams that are good enough to overcome playing the opponent and then also having to overcome yourself.
What's your reporting on Desmond Ridder and why the Raiders did this? We know the thumb injury to Aiden O'Connell, but a guy who played early in his career, played a lot, reminds me a lot of Gardner Minshew. He won the games that he was put in.
Right.
He won a couple of big games and had some flash plays. What do you think he could do to help the Raiders, if not this week, long term?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy with a live arm. He's an athlete. He ran a 4.4 40 at the combine, if I remember correctly. So he could run. He ran for over, I think, like 18 first downs last year, over 100 yards rushing. Threw the ball pretty nicely in his first year as a starter last year. It was his second year in the league. Completed 64% of his passes, 12 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. There were some struggles in the red zone, but he's young enough that, you know, getting from the 20 to the 20 wasn't necessarily an issue with him last year with the Falcons. It was, you know, some critical mistakes that he made, especially in the red zone. And if he can iron that out, you know, there's some upside here with Desmond Ridder. So the ultimate free acquisition, you know, you just go out to somebody's practice squad. They didn't have to trade for him. They didn't have to give up an asset to bring in a quarterback to fill the roster now that Aiden O'Connell is on the injured reserve list and still young enough that there might be some potential.
Yeah, I think it was a really good piece for this team, because if he has to play, you know, he has experience and he can help win games. You know, no more managing. 2-5, you're not there to manage a game. You're there to go win the game. Speaking of winning, is Brock Bowers. Wow. I mean, put this in perspective to our audience on what he is doing historically and why he's fitting in so well with this team.
Well, it's unprecedented what he is doing, and he's already, you can make the argument that he's a top three tight end in this league as a rookie, which is hard to do. Tight end historically is a position that takes a couple of years for players to really round into form and become the players that they're going to be. And that's the thing that I think Raider Nation needs to be so excited about, is that as good as he is right now, he's just scratching the surface, because as he's shown and as Luke Getsy showed last week, I thought Luke did a really good job of running the offense through Brock Bowers, the passing offense. He's somebody that, much like a Davante Adams, you could do whatever you want with him. You want to put him in the slot. You want to put him out wide. You want to put him off to himself. You want to put him in the backfield. You want to line him up as a tight end, obviously, in line. There's just so many different ways that you can launch him from, so many different positions on the field that you can launch him from. And once he gets the ball in his hands, he's just a remarkable athlete and playmaker. And he's extremely smart. He's not the most talkative player out there, but he's one of the most studious and serious and professional. The Raiders have themselves a gem, and you have to keep in mind also he's been doing this with, how should we say, erratic play from the quarterback position.
It.
I mean, come on, we're being honest here. The quarterback play hasn't been up to par yet he's still putting up historic numbers. And so, you know, you start thinking about the future, and I know everything is still about the right now, obviously, even for him. But the Raiders have themselves a player that I think that's going to be somebody that Raider fans are going to love for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Vinny Bonsignore is our guest. Let's get to the Chiefs. What are you seeing with the struggle with Mahomes? 6-0 with these stats is remarkable. I mean, for his career, these are arguably the worst stats when it comes to his rating, the interceptions, the lack of touchdowns, and they're winning games. And the same with Kelsey. His numbers are down dramatically.
Yeah, and I think, as Antonio Pierce told us just a little while ago downstairs, he's also playing some of his best football in key situations.
Yeah, key situations.
That's the thing with Patrick Mahomes. It might not look good right now collectively, but when you drill it down to making important plays and timely plays when they need to happen, he still has the capability of doing that. But I think what we've seen from this Chiefs offense right now is a little bit of attrition over the years, losing some key players. At the wide receiver position, and they've just brought in DeAndre Hopkins, who I think can make a little bit of a difference. They've had injuries. They let Tyreek Hill walk. Or they traded him. So, you know, it's just not the same personnel that's around him yet. He's still 6-0, and it feels like the Chiefs offensively anyway, because defensively they've been spectacular, but offensively it feels like that they're kind of laying in the weeds right now and maybe playing a little bit of possum and maybe doing a rope-a-dope the way Muhammad Ali, who we grew up watching, used to do. Oh, it looks like I'm losing. It looks like you're winning. It looks like I'm not doing so good. Yeah, when it counts, when we get to the 13th, 14th, or 15th round, I'm going to be fresh. I'm going to be ready to go, and that's when I'm going to win this fight. And I feel like the Chiefs right now are kind of that team, even though they're great record-wise, but there's some flaws in their game, you know, right now with the offense that needs to get squared away. But do you have any doubt that when it gets right down to it in December and January, that they're not going to be right there?
Their personnel plays great when they have to. You know, you're sitting in front of three Super Bowls behind you, and I think of the Raiders as an organization. They never look towards the future by losing games. That's never something that Al Davis ever thought of. And we're dealing with a lot of fans on radio. You do morning drive. I'm here on the radio every day. And some fans are just saying, well, what if we lose? We don't do that here. And I look at the Raiders. They have a golden opportunity to do something great. They're not a great football team. Mm-mm. They haven't been playing well at all. But they're due to play a good game. The defense won the game last year in Kansas City. The Raiders are the last team to beat Kansas City. So where can they be some optimism in this game? If the defense shows up, if they do what they've done the last 3 weeks, Vinny, get off to a good start where they're not down early, they have a lead, where they can find a way to hang in this game, and then with the kicker and the punter, and we look back at last season on YouTube here with some of the highlights from the game, just make big splash plays in the second half that could give them a shot to win late.
And where there is some optimism is that you can make the case that if the Raiders were able to just limit the mistakes, limit the turnovers and the penalties, they're going to be competitive in pretty much every game they play, in spite of some of the losses, in spite of some of the injuries. They've shown that already. They just can't beat the opponent and beat them and have to overcome themselves as well. So where the optimism comes into play is, what if Gardner takes care of the ball this week? What if there aren't 4 turnovers? What if there aren't 10 penalties, which is within the Raiders' control? Yeah. It's not out of the realm that he can have a good, clean game.
He was supposed to have many clean games and a couple of great games. That's why he was brought in. That's why Ritter's being brought in. Not to manage, but in a game like this, treat it like it's your opportunity of a lifetime to have a legacy game in the silver and black. But as you said, we can't predict turnovers, but they're coming in waves.
Right, and if you could eliminate that, and not saying that it's going to happen because it has been a season-long issue, but if you can, that's where I'm saying it's not hopeless, because hopeless would be you could play the perfect game and still get blown out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Has that been the case with the Raiders? No, it hasn't. There's a clear reason why they're losing right now, and it's their inability to take care of the ball, and it's their inability to avoid costly penalties. Not this past week, but the week before, 4 penalties. Every one of them, every single one of them, were crucial penalties that either led to a score or robbed the Raiders of a big play.
Robbed the Raiders of a big play.
I've never seen a team that committed 4 penalties, which you would accept on a weekly. Okay, 4 penalties. That's not the worst. But every one of them
critical.
Were critical. Last week, you just can't overcome 10. And 2 of those were at critical moments in the red zone, the Raiders got to the red zone twice the entire game. And both times, it was an illegal man downfield with Dylan Parham. You could have also called Colton Miller probably for the same penalty on that same play. Knocks them back, and all of a sudden they got to settle for a field goal rather than a touchdown. Then they get to the four-yard line on fourth down. They're going to go for it from the four. Jackson Powers-Johnson, illegal procedure. Those two penalties contributed to having to kick field goals rather than get scores or touchdowns in the red zone. And had they gotten the touchdowns, they win the game. So it's like I said, there's a clear reason why they're losing right now. And unfortunately, they just haven't been able to get out of their own way. But if they can, they're going to put themselves in a competitive situation.
Thanks for joining us in studio.
Absolutely.
Always appreciate Vinny Bonsignore as we take a look at our lineup here. And Vinny's right in the middle of it in the morning. What a show he has. 7 to 10, that's Pacific time. Then it's the Rich Eisen Show. I'm on noon to 2. And then Q Myers is on every day. Thanks for watching Raiders Rundown on YouTube, listening on Raider Nation Radio. We're excited for the opportunity to take on Kansas City Sunday at Allegiant Stadium.